As you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1, I wanted to tell you about a preacher that was visiting members of his congregation. And he went to one man's house and he knocked on the door 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 and nobody came to the door. And then he opened up the door just a little bit and yelled the guy's name. And then he walked around the corner of the house and kind of yelled the guy's name toward the backyard, and nobody came. And he could tell that, you know, there were some lights on, and it was the storm door he was knocking on. The main door was open. The cars were there. And he could tell the guy was home, but he couldn't get anybody to come to the door. And so he just took out one of his cards, and he wrote on the back of it Revelation 3:20, which is, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he left that in the door. Well, the next Sunday, the guy was at church, and one of the ushers, when he went through the offering, brought this card back to the... He said this was in the plate, and it was his card that he had left. It was left in the offering plate, and he looked at it, and it had his verse on there, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." But underneath it, another verse had been written, Genesis 3:10, which says, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." Is that a little bit better? More like that? Genesis, the word naked is inherently funny, so if you just put that in a joke, see? Yeah, are you recording, Randy?
He didn't get the laugh track there.
Yeah. Well, then, I was going to tell you what somebody said the other day that he laughed at, but I'll wait till we're not recording. It was one of you said something that made him laugh, and but we'll wait. Anyhow, Genesis chapter 1. Let's find verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Go into chapter 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There's delium in the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that you have given us. And Lord, today as we come to it, we pray for your help. Lord, help me to preach it correctly the way that you would have me to. Lord, help us all to understand it. But above all, convict our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be honest with you about ourselves and our condition as the Word shows us our condition. And help us to be more like your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that we see in the book of Genesis is that God is a God of order. We see that not only in the book of Genesis, but we see it even today all around us as we look at creation and we look at the way that things work. He is a God of order. He is a God of specific order. He is a God who has set things to be. He has set things in motion. He has set things the way that he has for a specific reason. The order that God has ordained for the universe, the order that he has ordained for our lives, the order that he has ordained for everything is not a recommendation. It is not just a good idea if you do it this way. It's not a choice, though we can choose to ignore it. God didn't give it to us as just a recommendation of something that might be good if we were to follow it. He gave it to us as the way, as the only way that will work. There is only one way to be saved. There is only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to please God. He tells us that in his scripture. There's only one way for a home to work correctly. I realize that there are people who, through no fault of their own, their homes are not what the Bible says they are supposed to be. So what do you mean no fault of their own? Well, what's a woman going to do if her husband just up and leaves and takes off and he's just gone? Well, that's not how the home is supposed to function. She didn't drive him off. She didn't ask him to leave. But he just decided, I don't want to have anything else to do with you or the kids. I'm leaving. Now, that does not mean that she cannot still do her level best to try to raise her children the way that God wants those children raised, but it is going to be more difficult on her. She's going to have a harder time. She has to make more sacrifices. She's going to have to put forth more effort. But that's not God's design. Okay? We know that because of consequences of sin, sometimes we have to do some things differently, but God's order and design hasn't changed. When we look around us, we can still see in creation the order that God has put into place. These planets are still spinning and they're still orbiting the way that they're supposed to. Every spring, we see the plants begin to come up. We see them start to bud, and then pollination takes place. And then in the fall, we see things start to die. And in the wintertime, it goes to sleep. And then next spring, it wakes back up. And every spring, we see a lot of new life. You know, out there where we live, we have... I'll tell you what, this county just has a lot of deer. Coming from Owen County, you all have so, it's wonderful. To a deer hunter, it's wonderful over here. I mean, you'd go, you might see, on any given day, you might see maybe two or three deer on your way to town, or and that's it for the day. That's going all the way into town. You know that the other night, driving from the house where we live now in the rental up to where we're building our house, which is, all I know is it's 2 miles as the crow flies. I don't know how long it is when you have to drive on the road. And I can't fly, so I have to drive on the road. I do things by time. It takes about 5 minutes to drive up to our house. Amy can make it in 2.5. I get driving up there, we're going by all these fields and everything. I forget how many we ended up. 20-some deer from our, just in that little 5-minute drive when it was Amy and I and Clayson. And then on another night, I was already up there and she drove up and I think she said 31. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I say that to say this. It's that time of year that in the backyard up at the new house, the does are starting to pop out with the fawns behind them. And we've seen quite a few sets of twins this year. And you watch those fawns out there and following mama, and mama's looking there, and they're eating and they're playing, and she's got the ears up and she's watching to make sure they're okay. Hey, you know it's been like that since the garden, and it's still working that way. You know that hasn't changed any. You know, I've yet to see a deer walk out and three possums behind her. And she's looking around, making sure those possums. No, see, God is a God of order, and His order works, and we have no business changing it. We've got no business trying to make it work differently. Sometimes you will find yourself, like I said, with a spouse that takes off, you will find yourself in a less than perfect situation, a less than ideal situation. You'll find yourself dealing with something that's not how God wanted it to happen, but because of sin and because of man and because of life, that's how it works out. And you have to make the best of that. You've got to push forward. You got to keep working at it. That happens. But we cannot deny that God has set things in order a certain way, and that's the best way. And sometimes it doesn't always work out that way because of man and sin and things like that. But we also have to realize this. If we are living in a less than perfect situation, if we're living in a situation that is different than how God intended it to be, God isn't going to go back and change His order of things to make us happy. God is not going to go back and change His requirement so that we'll be comfortable. His order hasn't changed. And even if that has been, if in our life it's we're not able to make it happen that way, like the example that I gave, that doesn't mean that God's going to change it. That means that, you know what, that mother needs to make sure that those children, if she's raising sons and daddy ran off and he's never heard from again, mama's got to make sure that those boys understand you don't do that. You don't run off on your wife and kids. You don't leave them, so that it doesn't become a pattern down through the years in that family. We get this order out of line when we start to believe that everything just formed out of blackness. We get things when we think, well, God didn't create, or everything just happened. The order is all fouled up. We not only deny Scripture, but we damage our thinking. Now listen, I've said this many times. I'll continue to say it. To think correctly, we must think biblically. The only way to have correct thinking is to have biblical thinking. What thus saith the Lord? Does it line up with Scripture? Is this how God tells me to think? The only way that you can think correctly is to think biblically. One of the areas, tonight we'll talk about marriage, but this morning we're just going to talk about man. One of the areas in which man has gotten things and the world has gotten things so out of order, so twisted and turned around and out of order, is just how God created us and what He created us for and what our purpose is. Man. How did we get here? Well, we've seen that. Well, why did He put us here? And what does He want us to do? You see, if you were to ask 10 people, what do you think the purpose of life is? You'll get 13 different answers. Because some people will have two or three different ideas on what the meaning of life is. Or maybe you'll just get three answers. You'll have people who, I don't know. God gives us the meaning of life in Ecclesiastes. We looked at that here recently. The last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, where He tells us to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Revelation chapter 4, I believe it's verse 11, says that we were created for God's pleasure. We were created to bring Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. When we get out of order how God created us and why He created us and what He wants us to do, it damages everything that we touch. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to do it right, because we're not following His design and His blueprint. Let's just look at a few of these things. We'll see some areas where man's thinking has been completely distorted. What the truth of God's word is. Look at verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Folks, this is where it all begins. If you want to understand who man is and what we're here for, you have to begin right here, that God created us, and specifically, He created us in His own image. Okay? That does not mean, pardon me, and I've heard people say, okay, I've heard people say that, God looks like we look, but that's not the image that we're created in. Okay? God is a spirit. Christ has, in the Old Testament, you'll find things called Christophanies, and that's where Christ appeared to man in different ways, and sometimes in an earthly figure. He took on an earthly body. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit never did. God the Holy Spirit indwells us. God the Father doesn't take on an earthly body, okay? So, and then if you say, well, God created man is in His own image, and so God looks like this, okay? Then is He white? Is He black? Is He, I'm going to say them all and offend everybody, is He red? Is He yellow? What? Is He pale? Is He pasty? You see, if you don't understand what He means by making us in His image, then your thinking is damaged. It doesn't mean that when you look at God, He looks like this. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? No, Christ took on a body. But not here in Genesis. Not here in Genesis. How are we made in His image? We talked about this a little bit recently, so we'll not spend a lot of time on it. But God is a Trinity, therefore, so are we. Look at, hold your place there and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God is a Trinity, and so we are a Trinity. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," meaning every part of you. "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's how we are a Trinity. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. We have three parts. We have the body, that physical part of us that we can see, our flesh. We have a soul. This is the seat of emotions. This is our intellect. This is our personality. This is who we are. This, their soul really is that personal, that we all have a body and we all have a spirit and we all have a soul. But the soul part of us is what makes us individuals. Okay? Emotions, intellect, personalities. That's in the soul. The spirit is that part of man that relates to God. This is what died in the garden. Okay? That is why when Christ died on the cross, he commended his spirit into the hands of the Father. Okay? Now, what we want, and we'll kind of get into this a little bit more in a minute, but everything, every living, man and animals, all have a spirit. Ecclesiastes talks about the spirit of the beast. The spirit of man ascends. The spirit of the beast, though, goes back to the ground. What we are never told that an animal has is a soul. I heard somebody the other day, something that I was watching, and I enjoy watching this program, but this guy was sitting there talking with his wife, and one of their animals had died, and they were all shaken up about it. And he said, well, you know, you feel this way about animals. And he said, they're living creatures. They have a soul. No, they don't. They have a spirit. That's what gives that fleshly body they have life. But it doesn't go back to God. Ecclesiastes says it just goes to the ground. They're alive. They don't have a soul. They don't have a soul. We get into that in a minute when we talk about man having dominion. But God is a Trinity, therefore we are a Trinity. We have the physical body, we have our soul, which makes us who we are, and then we have our spirit, which is that part of us that died in the garden. And that's what God quickens. That's what he makes alive. Whenever we get saved, then he quickens our dead spirit, and now we can have a relationship and fellowship with him, and we can relate to him once again. Okay? So man is a Trinity because God is a Trinity. And that's how we're made in his image. And by the way, real quick, while we're talking about God and bodies and his image and all this, the debate will probably always rage, and there's no reason for it, of, you know, is God a man or a woman? Well, let's see. Clayson, am I your mother or your father? It's not a trick question, kid. Am I your mother or your father? How about where everybody can hear it? I am Clayson's father. I won't get any different answer from Colin. Colin just woke up. Clayson's embarrassed. Clayson doesn't want to say it out loud because he's embarrassed. But he did lip. Okay, that just went completely down the tubes. Here was the point. Here was the point. Okay? What is, even a child knows what a father is. Even a child knows what a mother is. Even a child knows the difference between male and female. Okay? God is our what? Father. Scripture refers to him as him and he, and refers to the Holy Spirit and the Son in the same way. So just let that be the end of it. Let's just take Scripture for what it says. I don't think it's very popular anymore, but a few years ago, some of you might remember that there was a very, I mean, extremely popular best-selling fiction novel called The Shack. Anybody remember hearing about The Shack? Okay, we got a few head nods. I'm glad we don't have more head nods than what we have. And I'm sure those of you nodding your head didn't read it either. But this book called The Shack, here's the premise of this book. A man's daughter is kidnapped and killed, and then he gets a letter from someone asking him to come back to this shack where the murder took place. And when he gets there, he finds out that the letter is from God, and God's going to talk to him and walk him through all this. Okay, this book is extremely heretical, extremely heretical. It was a national best-selling book. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. The school I worked in, these teachers were passing it around, and everybody was, I didn't read it, but, you know, passing it around. They were all talking about the shack. They made a movie out of it, I understand, a few years ago. Now, I'm talking professing Christians were eating this thing up. God, the Father, was an overweight black woman. God, the Son, was a long-haired hippie whose favorite pastime was running up and down the river trying to catch trout with his hands. And God, the Holy Spirit, I might have these two flipped. One of them, I don't think even had a sex or a gender. And one of them, either God the Son or the Holy Spirit, one of them said something in there about enjoying smoking pot. Now, how does this become a national bestseller among people who claim to be born-again Christians and believe the Bible? Well, to start with, many of them are not born-again Christians. They're just claiming to be born-again Christians, and those that are don't know this book. God has made it clear to us in Scripture that He is a Trinity comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of them are masculine. All the pronouns used are masculine pronouns. And whether it's a fictional book or a movie or somebody standing up claiming that this is not fiction, that it's the truth, it is all heresy. And all of it damages people's thinking and understanding of God. Well, why are you preaching? We've never heard of that book. Why are you preaching against it? Well, it's out there. It's popular. It still pops up from time to time. And there's a good chance, if it hasn't happened, one of these books or something that I mentioned, somebody might try to pass it along to you. Just trying to warn. Oh, pardon me. The reason God the Father showed himself as a woman is because the man in this story had a terrible relationship with his father growing up. That was the reason God showed himself as a woman. Oh, who also cursed. I just remembered that. Yeah. Heresy. Rank heresy. You say, well, that's no big deal. We don't read that. Your family members read it. Your neighbors will read it. Your coworkers will read it. And it puts ideas in their heads, and then when you try to witness to them, you got to sort through those ideas, and you got to deal with that garbage. God is a Trinity, and therefore He made man a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. Let's keep that straight. Let's keep that straight. And by the way, there are churches who deny the Trinity because they do not think, they think that when the Son was here, that the Father was here and the Holy Spirit was here, they don't believe in three separate persons. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all together as one. Then explain this language. Let us make man in our own image. And who was the Son praying to in the garden every time that He prayed? And who spoke from heaven when Christ was baptized and the dove descended, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased"? How do you read this and not see three separate persons? God, a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three separate persons, co-equal. Same God, co-equal, but differing in roles, differing in their work. It's the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Okay? They all have a different work that they do. And because God's a Trinity and He made us, we have body, soul, and spirit. You wouldn't deny that you've got a body. Why deny that the soul and the spirit are two separate things with two separate functions? The spirit relates to God and the soul is who we are. By the way, it is that soul, since the spirit ascends back to God, but it needs to be quickened at salvation, okay, so that we can relate to God. But Ecclesiastes tells us that it goes back to God. It's the soul that spends eternity in hell if you die lost. Body and soul spend eternity in hell. Or body, soul, and spirit can spend eternity with Christ if we put our faith and trust in Him. But it'd be a better body than this one. Made to be like what He intended it to be. You don't get, we want to go all the way down this road, but Paul makes it clear, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, it might be 2nd, but I believe it's 1 Corinthians, where he makes it clear, you don't get a new body. You don't lay this one down and get another one. He says, we will all be changed. Who will change this vile body? I know that's a bummer for a lot of us. We were counting on getting a brand new one, maybe a better looking one, but He will change our vile bodies. How's He going to change it? He's going to remove the effects of sin. He's going to make it like He made Adam in the garden, perfect, like sin had never touched it. Time can't do anything to it. When He made Adam, He made him perfect. He'll make our bodies like that one day. Look at verse 27. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Yeah, that's still in there. There's no third, fourth, and fifth option. And no, we don't have to provide you with a third, fourth, and fifth blank to fill in on the doctor's form. Male, female. Look, you want to know how messed up the thinking of the lost, the thinking of the world is? They're arguing as to whether or not there's just males and females. They're arguing about, well, you might have been, yeah, you look like a boy, but you were really supposed to be a girl. And we saw that in Romans chapter 1, didn't we? You deny that God made everything, and you're going to go down the path of wickedness. Why are we arguing about who gets to use what bathroom? Arguing about, should this child dress like a boy or dress like a girl? I'll tell you, is he a boy? He dresses like a boy. If it's a girl, he dresses like a girl. There are no other options. What do they call it? Gender fluidity? Is that what they call it? What's that mean? Today you're a boy, tomorrow you're a girl, and Tuesday you're a horse, and Friday you're an airplane? What? Or what do you identify as? Come on, if that works when it comes to your sex, then how can you tell somebody that it doesn't work everywhere else? Let's say Phil Wagner has $1 million in the bank. It's not a prophecy, it's an illustration. Let's say Phil Wagner has $1 million in the bank, and I know that, and I go in and I do a withdrawal, and I sign Phil Wagner, and they say, you're not Phil Wagner. Oh, but today I'm identifying as Phil Wagner. How far would you get? There's a man that used to be a cop, and he is now he now does a lot of street preaching and everything. And he made a recording where he went into, when Target started saying you can use whatever bathroom you want, he put his phone in his pocket and recorded, you know, him going into this store. And he went to buy a candy bar, and when he went to the counter, he said, give me employee discount. They said, oh, do you work for Target? And he said, no, but today I'm identifying as a Target employee, so I'd like the employee discount. They wouldn't give it to him. They wouldn't give it to him. He asked for the manager. The manager came in and he said, I understand that Target has a bathroom policy that you will not discriminate on who gets to use what restroom as long as you identify with the sex that is supposed to use that restroom. You say, yeah, that's true. He said, then why can't I identify? You can't make yourself a man if you're not. You can't make yourself a woman if you're not. Why can't I identify? How can you tell me that I can't identify as a Target employee and get this discount? To which the manager had to admit to him that he was right and that he didn't like the policy. But it came down from corporate. I'd say go to work at Walmart. I'd say go someplace else. But that's your decision. That's your choice. Why doesn't it apply anywhere else? Male, female. In Switzerland, some of the public schools have completely banned personal pronouns. Children in certain public schools in Switzerland are to call one another friend. And they, I don't remember what they are, like Z, Zim. They made up these words. They made up these words. That it's funny, they sound a lot like him and her and he. And how do you get there? Because you refuse the order that God has established for his universe. When you deny that he exists, or you admit that he exists, but you deny what he told you in the Word about the universe and about himself. You see, church, this isn't just a problem among the lost. It's not just a problem among the world. Surveys and polls and studies are being done every year, and this thinking is increasingly creeping into churches and into the mind. Do you realize that the number of professing Christians, and I don't have the number with me today, but the number of professing Christians who think that homosexuality is not a sin is rapidly growing? Shouldn't it be zero? Zero Christians say that homosexuality is not a sin because the Bible says it is a sin. Why is it increasing? When you don't know God's word and you reject God's word and you think you can change God's word and you can think that you can interpret it to what you want it to mean, then you get everything out of order and you can't think straight. Male and female. Hey, God didn't make anyone in the wrong body, nor did he allow anyone to be born a homosexual, and then turn around and say it's an abomination. God just stacked the deck against you and you don't have a prayer if he predispositioned you to being something that he said. But you know what he did say? Hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But what's the gift of God? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. That applies to everybody. You know what you're predisposed to when you're born? Everything. You hold that little baby and they're so beautiful and they're cute and they're wonderful and they're sweet and they are, and you're holding a little sinner that within them possesses the ability to commit any sin anyone's ever thought. That doesn't mean they will commit every sin, but they have all of the ability just because they're fallen. Well, he created man in his image. He created man male and female. And he made us better than the rest of creation. Look here. Verse 26, make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then look down at verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Animals are not your equal. You are superior to them. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I am glad that I have dominion over those creeping things, because I kill them. Listen to this. We've got a stack of lumber left over from building our house, and it's covered up. It's up on pallets, and it's covered up with tarps. And 2 or 3 days ago, we needed some lumber to do something. I am not afraid of them like my heart stops, but I don't like them. People say, well, just a black snake, they can't kill you. I don't care if it can kill me or not. My dog can't kill me just by biting me, but I don't want to get bit. I don't like them, okay? Satan was a serpent in the garden, kill them all. You say, well, they eat mice, so do cats. We don't need them, okay? Listen, Alex and I get out there and we're looking for big, long boards. And I'm pulling that tarp up and pulling that tarp up and walking down it and looking at it as a big, long tarp. And I pull this tarp up, and I'm not joking, he's right there. And he's coiled, and he's flicking that tongue. I don't like it. My heart is racing right now just remembering it. I don't like them. And Alex is about 3 fries short of a Happy Meal because I run away and I'm going, and he goes, oh, where is it? Where is it? And he's down there looking for it, and then he finds it and he's like, oh man, wow, look. Oh, did you hear that thump when he fell off of there? Look at that. Whoa. And he's on top of it and he's like, well, let's see. He's about that big around, and judging by the one I killed last week that was 5 feet, he's got to be 6 feet long, man. And I'm down there going, okay, the wood we need isn't here. Let's go back to the house. That's not natural. You take your kids to the state park and places like that, and they teach about these snakes and get them out, and you want to hold them? No. See, Moses ain't natural either. I'm glad I have dominion over them, and I prove it with the end of a hoe. Chop them up. Amy's glad we have dominion over spiders. Her heart will stop. Her heart will stop. I don't think she likes me telling this, but I'm going to tell it. She has this recurring nightmare of laying in bed and she can't move and a spider is slowly coming down. She's had it multiple times and in the dream she can't move. I don't know how many nights she sat straight up in the bed going, and I say, spider dream? Yes. And then she lays back down and goes to sleep. Oh, she hates those spiders. She hates those spiders. And her son decided that one found a wolf spider the other day and decided to keep it in a jar in his room. I said, you've got a spider downstairs? Knowing your mother and you've got a spider in a jar downstairs. She came downstairs and she saw him put something behind the... He's holding... She's like, what is that? What is that? He didn't want her to see it because he knows, you know, that she'd kill him and then die herself. But I'm saying this. I'm glad we have dominion over them. But what does that mean that we have dominion over them? It means we're superior to them. It means they're not equal to us. It means that they do not have rights like we do. It means God didn't breathe the breath of life into them and they became a living soul. It means that they do not deserve anything other than proper treatment. See, I don't even like to use the word humane because that That's how you treat people, because people are humans. You treat people humanely. But you treat an animal with respect as being a living creature. If you have a pet, take care of it. Don't starve it. Don't beat it. Change the litter box. Let it go outside. Okay, yes, it's wrong for people to mistreat an animal because it's a living creature. But it is not your equal. It does not have rights. Let me point something out to you here. To treat animals as people is unscriptural and it's disrespectful to God. It's a slap in the face of the Creator. No, wait a minute. Who did he create in his image? Man. Not the animals. And when you treat an animal with the same type of respect that you do a person who's created in the image of God, it is disobedient to Scripture, disrespectful to God, and a slap in his face. Listen to this. God only created man in his image. There are examples of trinities other places in creation, but he only created man in his image. We're the only ones that he breathed the breath of life into. His relationship to us is a parental one. We are born of him. Okay, he created us, and his relationship to us is that of a parent. We have dominion over the animals, the birds, the fish. You don't have dominion over your equal. In our home, I have a position of leadership and headship in our home. I do not have dominion over my wife. I have a different role than she has. I don't have dominion over her. Scripture never gave me dominion. It put me as the head over her and the head of the family. I don't have dominion over her. Why? Because she is a human being created in the image of God, the same as me. That puts us on the same plane. Come on, these people talk about, oh, equality, equality, and then they get mad at us Christians and say that we oppress women. You want equality, read Scripture. Because as I said earlier, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. There's equality for you. We've all sinned and you can all be saved. Equal, with the same amount of salvation and just as saved. I'm just as saved as you are and you're just as saved as I am. Man, that's equality. And by the way, these people that cry and complain about, well, you know, Christians and Christianity, it oppresses women. Why don't they ever say that about the Muslims who cut their wives' heads off if they show their ankles in public? You go into a store and you see a Muslim couple. And the man can look and dress like whatever he wants to dress like. And she is in this black thing from head to toe with a little bitty window that she's seeing out. Read some of the stories. In some countries, and maybe it's happening here and we just don't hear about it very much, probably because we're trying to be told it's the religion of peace. Muslim men are killing Muslim women for the way that they dress. They're having women in their own families killed because they think if you could see part of their calf when they went out into public, they disrespected Allah and their whole family, and they're having them killed. They call them honor killings. Okay? A Muslim woman is absolutely forbidden from owning anything. She can't have ownership of anything. Her husband dies, their land doesn't go to her. She can't own a thing. But that's the religion of peace that we need to tolerate. You Christians oppress women because you say the man is the head of the wife. No, God said it, who created everything. Read Proverbs 31 and find out what God thinks about women. He's given them an exalted position in the home. The man has an exalted position. The wife has an exalted position. Get it straight. Get it right. Get the order right, and it'll work, and it'll make sense. And quit letting news media and politicians tell you you're repressed and oppressed, and then you'll end up depressed. Stick with God's word. Stick with God's order of how He made things and fill the role that He made you to fill, men and women and children. And stick with that order and things will work. Back to having dominion. We got on that because I pointed out we don't have dominion over each other because we're equal. Okay? As far as, you know, just our the way God created us. Animals, we have dominion over them because they're not our equal. We are superior to them. They do not have rights. They do not know love. I know that blows a big hole in a lot of people's, oh, you see, that dog loves me. Dog doesn't even know what love is. That dog likes you because you feed it and you play fetch with it. That's why any dog that you buy and feed and play fetch with will act the same. The dog doesn't even know. Listen, to have a right, you need to know that you exist and know that you could cease to exist like we do. We know we're alive and we know we can die. If the squirrels knew that, they'd never cross the road. They sit in the road until you're almost there, and then they can't decide which side to go to. You don't sit in the road and wait till the car gets there, and then what do I do? He just knows something loud and big is coming. It's instinct. They don't know that they exist. They're faithful to and protective of you because they're territorial creatures. It's instinct. So, Pastor, why do you say all that? To ask this question, why would we treat a lower life form with the same or more dignity and respect than those who are created in the image of God? This country is absolutely insane and just eaten up with their pets and how they treat them. I'm driving through, I think Alex and I were going to the lumber store the other day. And here's this car in front of, oh, and you see them all the time, but here's this car and it says, Dog Mom. I didn't want to see her. Now, if it was a German Shepherd driving a car, that would have been cool. But that's not what it meant. And I thought, oh, man. You know how sometimes you say, ooh, wolf. I didn't want to see her. Have you seen the one that says, I love my grand dog? Now, the problem is, it's creeping into Christians' homes. It's creeping into Christians' homes. The last church that we were at, that we attended, someone contacted that church to ask if they wanted to take part in a pet food drive. No, we feed people, needy people. Why would we use the same words we use to describe our relation to God and family, father, son, daughter, mother? Why would we use those words in relation to animals? The truth is, we don't have a relationship to them. But if you believe in Mother Earth, then you would believe that you do. If you believe you came from animals, then you would believe that you do. But if you don't believe that you came from that the earth just created you, if you believe that God created you out of the dust of the ground, if you believe that you're made in the image of God, then you wouldn't buy health insurance for your pet. You wouldn't put your pet in your will. you wouldn't have, as funeral homes in this town are doing now, cremation and funerals for your pets. You would not put clothes on your pets. God did that already. You wouldn't buy car seats for your pets. You're all laughing, but it's all true. No, you do. No, you know what? We buy car seats for our babies, our human babies. We buy clothes for our children, for ourselves. We put our family in our will. We won't go there because we went there a couple weeks ago, but we went to Romans 1 just a week or so ago. Why would those people worship the creature more than the Creator? Well, they've abandoned God and they believe the mother is their earth. Why would that? Listen, you don't think it's messed up? You don't think it's... I'm trying to point out to you here that God created us above the animals. It is a sin then to treat them as our equal. He is our Father. I am my children's father. Well, we've had people over at the house to talk to my dog and refer to me as the dog's father. Who are you disrespecting? Me or the dog? That dog has no idea who his father even is. We went over to Illinois because some FFA kid had these puppies dirt cheap and bought this dog. And when I bought the dog, he didn't know who his dad was. I didn't take his place. I don't carry him around in my mouth. And now think about it. Y'all are laughing at it, but think about it. Oh, these are my babies. These are my... Okay? Do you think that man's perception of animals is completely out of line? Do you think it's unbiblical? Yep, I think so. I'll tell you one more little story and then we'll move on. Had to run to town the other day to get some stuff and was coming back. It was about lunchtime. I was by myself. I was going to grab a quick sandwich. And apparently everybody that's been staying home because of this virus decided that Friday, July the 3rd, was... they'd had enough. Because the roads are crazy again. Almost gotten two wrecks again. It's been nice, but almost gotten two wrecks again. There was not one drive-thru that wasn't backed up. I just wanted a sandwich. Well, that one's too long, and that one's too long. So I'm in that little, like the side of that parking lot where Gander Mountain used to be, and Arby's and Taco Bell and all that's right there. And Arby's is backed up, and Taco Bell is backed up, and McDonald's is backed up, but that doesn't matter. And I'm sitting there looking, and I look over here, and there's a grass area, some trees, and there's a man and his wife and two kids under this tree eating, and they've got this wire cage up, and they got these two boxers in there. Now, that's one of my favorite dogs. We used to have one. I like boxers. Had these real pretty little boxer puppies. Now, I'm not going to buy a dog. I'm not looking for a dog. But I like boxers, and so I pulled over just to see if he was selling them because I just wanted to play with the puppies for a minute. So I pulled up there. I said, "Hey, you selling puppy dogs?" He said, "No, you're the third person that's stopped and asked." He said, "We're on our way back from St. Louis where we picked up the dogs. We're just stopping to get them out and give them a break." He said, "One woman wanted to know if we were giving them away." And I laughed because I know how much they cost. I didn't pay that for the one I had. But you can't hardly touch a good boxer from a reputable breeder for less than $600, and they're usually $1,000 or more. No, I didn't even get close to... ours was like some dude out in the country that... about as irreputable as you can. He didn't tell me what he paid, but I know how much they cost. And if you drove to Missouri to get them, you paid some money for them. Now, I was thinking about how ridiculous that is for someone to go from Terre Haute to Missouri to buy dogs. Then I saw his license plate, Connecticut. He drove halfway across the country to buy two puppy dogs. He's not an exception to the rule. They do it all the time. People have them flown in from across the country and drive to the airport to pick them up. But this morning, how many of those same people didn't get up and bother coming to God's house for church? Listen, it's completely out of whack. It's complete. Pastor, why do you spend so much time on this? Because I talk to Christians who think this way. Yeah, we would expect the world to do it, but I talk to Christians who think this way. And it's out of order. It's not the way God set things up. And if we get out of order with Him, it's displeasing to Him, and what displeases Him is sin. Everything that God created, you'll see there, all through the first couple chapters, that everything, after He created it, it began to create what? After His kind. Man creates after his kind, and cows after their kind. Everything is created by God, yet everything is not related. The earth is one thing, the animals are another thing, people are another thing, and we all produce after our kind. I'll begin to close it up with this. I didn't get through everything. We'll finish it up tonight, but let's say this. God is our Father. We are His children. He ordained the home. The home contains father, mother, and children. We're all to be representatives of Him. We're to treat one another as people created in the image of God. We are to love one another the way Christ loves us. Animals do not fit in that equation anywhere. Take care of them if they're your pets or your livestock? Absolutely. It's a living creature. Absolutely. Feed it. Don't abuse it. Give it what it needs. And to give them the same kind of love and respect is a perversion of God's word. It's out of order. You know, in the courtroom, they say that a lot. When someone gets up and speaks when they're not supposed to, they say, "You're out of order. You're out of order." You read the book of Genesis, and God's gavel is coming down on mankind. You're out of order. God says in His word, "I created you in My image. I didn't create anything else in My image." And when you deny that I'm here, when you disrespect Me, you are out of order. God says in here, He created a male and female. When you start saying there are other choices, you are out of order. God says, "I told you that you're better than animals and you're to have dominion over them and you're not to worship them." Oh. And when you treat them like people and when you worship them and when you treat them like they're your children, you are out of order. I'd like to be in order with God and His word, wouldn't you? I'd like for God to look and say, "That's how I told Him to do it. That's how I told Him to do it. That's how I told Him to do it." I don't want to be the one that's afraid to speak up. "Well, I don't. No, if it's truth, speak up. Speak up. We were in Lowe's the other day, and there was an employee there, and I could not discern what the sex was. And I just asked the girl that was waiting on us. I said, "What is that?" Because she worked with them. I don't think that's mean, rude, or disrespectful. I think it's an honest question. God created male and female. I said, "What is that?" She looked at me and she went, But she didn't. Church, the world's wrong when they tell you you're hateful for saying, "No, God only created male and female. And whatever you're born as, that's what you are and that's what you have to stay." The world's wrong when they say that's hateful. That's biblical. That's scriptural. The world's wrong when they say, women, you shouldn't let him run the home. No, you're wrong. God's word says that's how it works. That's biblical. That's scriptural. Well, why should you have to do that for him? Well, why should Christ have to come and die on a cross? Why should you have to submit? Why should you have to do this? Well, why should Christ have to do anything? He's the reason that we follow his order. He's the reason we do these things. We say, he died for my sin. You know what? I'll do what he says. I'll follow his order. We've got more to look at there. We got through three things this morning. I think we've got about two or three more that we'll look at tonight. But it all comes down to this. God's a God of order. He's put certain things in certain order. And it is disobedience to his word to get those things out of order. And when we have those things out of order, it'll mess up all of our thinking about everything. To think correctly is to think biblically. So let's go to the word and say, okay, how does God want me to think? How does God want me to think? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've taught us in your word this morning. Pray that you would encourage us to not only live these truths in our life, but to stand up for these truths, to defend these truths, and to proclaim these truths. And Lord, you've told us to stand fast. You've told us to be unmovable and always abounding in your work. And Lord, as we go through these verses, as we go through this book of the Bible, as we go through any book of the Bible, that's what we're trying to do, is get our feet more firmly planted so we can be a better witness and we'll be unshakable and unmovable. Help us. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.